Brad Robinson, he's the mayor of Carterville, joining me in the studio. First off, it's good to see you again.
Good morning, Tom. Good to be here.
You know, and I for the first time yesterday, I'd admitted yesterday I'd moved. I've been keeping it secret that I'm now a resident of your town, yeah. Carterville, and which I've always considered my town.
So. Yeah, we're happy about it. That's
well, some people are.
You are.
Police chief, I'm not so sure. Yeah,
you are one of many who want to move to Carterville or who have and call it home now. And that's one of the things that we're most proud of about Carterville is it doesn't take very long once you move there to call it home.
Right.
And we're proud of that.
Is it destined to be only a bedroom town, a bedroom community for Marion and Carbondale and surrounding communities?
You know, I don't believe so. I think at least my goal in our council in the last 4 years has been to keep that community feel, almost bedroom community feel, but also be able to bring in new business, new industry, absorb the growth, and make it part of our small town feel. And I think we've done that well. I don't think as the city of Carterville will ever be a true business competitor with Marion or Carbondale.
Right.
I just don't think there's enough population to have all the same businesses within that few mile strip of the 13 corridor. But that's okay. I still believe we're going to grow. We've been consistently growing every year for the past 4 years.
You know what it seems to me, Brad, the outside looking in and talking to people, and I'm literally talking to people now for an excess of 20 years on this subject, and it changed a few years back. And I can't tell you exactly when it changed, but suddenly people started coming to Carterville, and they said, well, I'm coming here for the school system.
That's a big part of it. The school district is a high performer statewide, and we're very proud of that. But I think it's a combination of many things. It's Carterville Unit 5 School District. It's John A. Logan College. It's the businesses that we have here, the climate that the Chamber of Commerce provides, the community organizations, the Lions Club, the Rotary, our churches, some of the work of the city. I think it's hand-in-hand combinations.
The athletics at the high school, too.
Exactly. And our Tri-C athletics for the little leagues,
right.
Our little farm system that brings up these athletes for their high school careers.
You know, it's interesting when you start thinking about why you want to go someplace. A lot of people ask questions about schools and things along that line, law enforcement, fire response. One of the reasons I moved here, fire response. I'm close to the fire station. And after watching a home in my neighborhood burn because the fire hose wouldn't hook up to the hydrant because it was the wrong size, I'm pretty sure it's time to leave.
Yeah.
But infrastructure is one of the problems. Your opponent yesterday said that one of the he thought was one of the more important items here was a sewer plant. Is there a deficiency in the sewer plant? What is its life expectancy? Yesterday he says this should be one of the priority items.
Well, it is a prior. It's a long range priority for us currently. The sewer plant is fully functioning, EPA compliant. We have a new plant operator, and he's been working diligently on making sure that plant operates at the best capacity that it can. But the plant is designed to take in about 1,050 gallons a day of influent, and currently we're averaging about 750,000 a day. And so based on the percentages of our growth and how we expect that to continue, we think there's a life expectancy of this current plant at its current size of about 10 years. So we've commissioned a study with our engineering firm to look at what are we going to do for the next 10 years? Are we going to expand this plant? Are we going to build a brand new one to completely replace it? Are we going to build another one to augment it or supplement it? And this study is even taking into account our neighboring communities. Because I know Craneville has a similar situation with their sewer system as they continue to grow as well. So this is even looking at what can we do if we receive some federal funding or we partner together to take care of this for our growing communities. So our plant is in good shape, fully functioning, but we know in the next 10 years, as we continue to grow, that it's going to have something done.
How many people live in Carterville now?
5,460 if you go by the census, but
right.
I think we're at least 6,000 people. And
a lot of new houses around.
And
a lot of refurbishing and rebuilding going on. A lot of rehabilitating, I've noticed that as well.
In fact, we have 14 open building permits right now on single-family dwellings.
It's interesting. I met a guy yesterday, Saturday. He said he was, I just walked down the street and I saw this guy and I waved and said, hello and how are you? We started talking. He says, I want to move my daughter here. She's going to be a student at SIU, and I don't want her living in Carbondale.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get her a nice little house in Carterville. you never know what you're going to learn when you walk up to someone. Like when I was at the local sandwich shop the other day, and there were two people at the table next to me, and they were arguing whether you ever worked at the fire department.
Yeah, there's. I did work at the fire department. In fact, I left there in January of 2010 as the full-time assistant fire chief and ambulance coordinator.
It was interesting because the people at the table were clearly at odds on this issue. And one was rather adamant that you had, in fact, never worked and you had been a volunteer only.
No, that's incorrect. That comes from some videos that are making their way around social media and the internet. In fact,
I've seen some of those videos, Brad, and there's a couple of issues that came up that when I didn't watch them all because they're strange. They kind of caught me off. And anyway, there were two topics that I saw. One was $1,000 that went missing or wasn't properly explained, and it had photos of this. Like a ledger, you know, print a computer printout. Where's this $1,000? There was $1,000. So what's this about?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, that is talking about a sponsorship that the city donated to the Downtown Merchants and the Mayor Mauzy Foundation towards their murder mystery dinner. And the proceeds from that dinner have been allocated towards our downtown lighting project. Not the parks. Parks already have lights. The downtown lighting, Ameren has agreed to remove the utility poles from the downtown. All of the power supplies have been moved to the rear of the two blocks of the downtown buildings. But when those ugly old power poles go away, so does the lights. So we have to put in some decorative lamps to light the two blocks of the downtown. And
good.
That is... part of the fundraising effort to do that.
The other issue was the SIH Cancer Center, clearly alluded to in a video that was produced, $500,000 in sewer and road funds.
Yeah, that's another issue that has stirred up very little controversy, and it's a complete falsehood. What has happened, the city of Carterville, under the previous mayor, had worked with the Cancer Center, with SIH, and they bought a piece of property from a private owner. It wasn't city property.
Right.
And they brought in this $24 million development. And the prior administration had agreed to make sure that water and sewer service reached their property so they could build, and also agreed to do an asphalt overlay of the oil and chip road that came in there. And... one of the concerns of the Cancer Center was that the road was smooth coming in because cancer patients typically have a difficult time with travel and with bumpy roads.
Right. Pretty familiar with that stretch of road and the asphalt road and its bumpy nature, and yes.
So the previous administration, in fact, I have a letter dated March of 2012 where the mayor and all the aldermen, except for me, when I was an alderman at that time, I abstained. But they all signed it agreeing to do those things. And $175,000 of that money towards the sewer came from a Delta Regional Authority federal grant. And so not only was a sewer lift station built that would serve that property, but it also it replaced a 40-year-old lift station on Ivy Lane that serves, a third of the Greenbrier subdivision. So it killed two birds with one stone, and the accusations of some kind of a quid pro quo deal, completely false.
Now, you've been mayor how long now?
4 years.
What'd you think about the job, man?
Well, I thought that I was 100% prepared, and it turns out that even someone who's been around the city for 20 years and had spent years as an alderman and on the zoning and planning board, there were still a few surprises.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's been a wonderful experience. There's been many more wins than losses, and I'm happy to do it and hope to get another term to finish the projects we have underway.
All right, before we let you go today, the other 4 years, is because you get better at your job as you go by. You learn the ins and outs, the people, and how to get the best out of people, and there's always this learning process going on. And when you do that, I often find that the possibilities start to open up before me what I think I might be able to do. I think we could do this now that we've got this done. What's on your mind about the future, about what you want to see developed, or what's your mayoral legacy to the growth of Carterville?
Well, there's a few things that we're working on now that I'd like to see through. And One of those is creating a third TIF district to help further incentivize the Route 13 corridor. We have created two TIF districts already and have seen the fruits of that labor. Our first TIF district brought Ward Kia, the car lot, out at Spillway Road intersection.
Yep.
And it also encompassed McBride Mack truck sales. So those are major players on tax revenue for the city of Carterville. TIF 2, I believe, has helped to revitalize our downtown. That consisted of the two blocks of the downtown. And so we want to continue that that business growth environment and expand it out to the 13 corridor and continue that positive momentum. I also, and this may not seem very large in scale, but I'm very passionate about getting that flagpole that was traditionally known for the city of Carterville back out there.
Yeah, the one of the largest.
We're having some permitting issues with IDOT, and we removed that flagpole because of the 13 expansion. And we're having some issues on where that can be placed, but we're going to continue to move forward. It's a small step, but it's big in importance to me and many others. So,
well, the only way it would be harder to put it up is if it had a beer sign on it. I've worked with IDOT and the city on a number of different occasions over the time, and they have very specific rules. Well, my old friend Al Thomas got me in the rules, and he was former resident of Carterville as well, and an IDOT yep. engineer for years. Right-of-ways and what can be over the top of the highway, there's really an amazing number of rules in the state of Illinois what's permissible. So when you said that about the American flag, I was like, yeah, I know. I just want to know why sometimes.
Yeah, well, so do I, but yeah. we are working on that one diligently, and that's something I'd like to see taken care of before the end of my run.
People always want more. People always want more for the town. They want more police cars. They want more police. They want more firemen. They want more in a time when there's less and less money. I mean, I was talking to Jeff Doherty about this some time ago. He says, you don't understand. As a city manager of Carbondale, he says, people want lower taxes. They want lower this, that. But they're always asking for more services at the same time. And in Illinois, there's never a harder task than that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you have to get, you have to be creative. And you have to work diligently. And we supplement a lot of those needs with grants. In fact, I heard my opponent yesterday talking about how we need to apply for grants. And just off the top of my head, after I heard that, I put pen to paper and came up with over $2 million in the last 4 years through grants and donations. And those are the things that we use to supplement, you know, that base, that tax base to get the things that we need to make our community better, whether it's police, through computer grants and office furniture through State Farm, whether it's fire department through the volunteers raising money, and they bought their own dive and rescue boat this past year. Many different avenues to make things better for the community through grants and donations, and we work hard at that.
Yeah, and that award ceremony yesterday.
Yeah.
A couple of your police officers lifted an SUV up off someone. Well, there was two Carterville, one Craneville.
Yes.
I think it was.
Yep.
I like that story.
Well, you know, it's one of those situations where we have employees that truly go above and beyond every day, but it's not always
life and death. You really do have some great guys. You really
do. We do. And anytime we get an opportunity to let the public know of what they do and the importance of it, especially when lives are at stake, it's well worth the recognition. Yeah.
I noticed a couple of guys at the park see me coming, then they go the other way, though, now. He's going to ask about the dog park again.
Just, I'll tell the employees, if you start asking questions, just say, talk to the mayor.
Okay. Brad Robinson, Carterville mayoral, the incumbent, and, of course, the candidate for coming up on April 4th.